this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's up, Boiler Nation? It's Tuesday night. It's September 24th, 2024. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Twitch page. Follow us on all those if you haven't already. Subscribe, like, hit that notification bell. Do all that good stuff. Boiler Breakdown brought to you by Mad Mush and The Shop. You'll learn more about our two great sponsors later on the episode. I'm Tanner Lee. Glad to be back. This week, co-host Evan Webb in the house. Webby, thanks for holding down the fort last week, and thanks to our good buddy Aaron Lynch for filling in for me.
So are you glad to be back talking about this game?
I would rather talk about this one than the one you guys had to talk about last week.
Fair.
But yeah, but that's a fair assumption there. So it's two L's in a row. Not how we were hoping the first three games of the season would go for the Boilers, but man, like I titled the thumbnail, just missed opportunities. That's how I'm going to remember this game.
Yeah, I mean, really from the jump. I mean, when you have a team go for it on their own, like, what, 37? First possession, defense comes up with a stop with something they couldn't do all Notre Dame game. And then, you know, you make some plays to get down there. And then fumble it away. Yeah, it is. That's tough. Tough start.
Yep. Tough start indeed. Cameron Day on Facebook. They suck. Fire everyone. I hate to say it's everybody, but I don't see Ryan Walters going anywhere.
Nope. Not this year.
Not this year. Maybe if Purdue doesn't win any games, but
that's what I said. I think Lynch and I talked about last week. The only way I think that happens is if it's like absolutely catastrophic, like what we saw against Notre Dame, if that happens every game. I think that happens to most games, I guess you'd say.
And as bad as Purdue is, I think Northwestern's worse.
Yeah. So, and UCLA probably arguably.
Yeah.
But we don't play UCLA, so that's
important. No, don't play UCLA. That's another part. You know, everybody wants to jump to conclusions about the schedule, this and that. And, you know, everybody's praising Indiana. Indiana's offense looks good, don't get me wrong, but they haven't played absolutely anybody. Mm-hmm. Absolutely anybody.
They've eviscerated everybody they've played, unfortunately.
They have. So, I mean, we'll see. There's a long season left. There's still 9 games left. I mean, has Purdue looked bad the last 2 games? Absolutely, they have. But I've seen plenty of teams in the past turn around after bad starts. I mean, Nebraska's 10-point favorites going into Saturday, and I think that's fair. I mean, probably could even be a little higher, to be honest.
I thought that was going to be like 14.
But we'll see. It's Nebraska's first road game of the year, even though they'll have plenty of people in the stands at Ross Aid, but they have not played on the road. Their freshman quarterback has never played on the road. So we'll see what happens, but we'll talk about that game in a little bit. But let's go back to Oregon State. Final score of the game was Oregon State 38, Purdue 21. How were you feeling at halftime when Oregon State was up 17-7?
I mean, I guess I was feeling okay, all things considered. I mean, my biggest thing was like, gosh, again, it was missed opportunities. It was the pick six, the fluky pick six. You know, you take that away, it's a 3-point game. Right. And then did we not go for a field goal in the first half, or was that the second half where we didn't go for it?
It was first half.
So yeah, I mean, it was kind of like two plays right there that, you know, could have been the difference. But at the same time, you know, the offense really had like one drive that ended in a score, and that was the one to the 30 some yard pass to Max Clair, which was, I think, one of two completions all first half, which is crazy.
That won't get it done.
No. I mean, it was encouraging to see Mockaby do what he was doing. He definitely showed up. I thought offensive line held for the most part pretty well. Defense played well for the most part. I mean, the only downside is they were just out there for so long, which you knew kind of was going to be a bad, it was going to end badly if the offense couldn't sustain a drive and give them a break.
Yep. The defense got wore out about three and a half quarters in, it looked like. I mean, they got gashed on the ground for over 300 yards again, back-to-back weeks. If it happens this week against Nebraska, that'll be the first time since 2016 it's happened, three straight games where Purdue's given up 300 or more rushing yards in a single game. And Purdue held Giovanni McCoy in check. He was 10 for 18 passing for 104 yards. So the pass defense did his job on the ground. Jameson Griffin led the way, 22 carries, 137 yards and a touchdown. You were talking about Devin Mockbee. Yeah, there he did get credited with a fumble, but I think that was more of an exchange problem between him and Hudson. Yeah. In the red zone the first quarter. Take that away, and Mockbee played a hell of a game. 16 carries, 168 yards, one touchdown. And then let's see, Reggie Love had 10 carries, 66 yards, one touchdown. Yep. And Hudson Card even had three carries for 33 yards. So yep. Purdue got it done on the ground, which they got it done on the ground a lot last year with Tyrone Tracy and Devin Mockbee. Yeah. It's just in the air and this air raid style offense you're supposed to be running, you can't go 7 for 17 for 56 yards.
Yeah, 56 yards. Yeah, in today's era of football, like, I mean, I feel like if you have 56 yards in a quarter, that's not good, let alone an entire game. Yeah, that was just what was so disappointing. I mean, there was, and I don't know. I'm sure there's blame that can pass around equally to a lot of people. I don't know if it's, Hudson not having confidence to make the throw. I don't know if it's receivers just not getting open. I don't know if it's, I think you can definitely blame the scheme. Yeah, it's just been really frustrating to see as we're used to as Purdue fans of, being able to throw the ball around no matter what. It was just really frustrating to see the team just like look like just totally inept at throwing the ball.
Yeah. It's you're not having, you don't have Jamal Edrin, who on paper is Purdue's number one wide receiver. We don't have CJ Smith, who hasn't played the first three games. Now Ryan Walters is saying no timetable pretty much for his return. And we know how that goes historically with Purdue wide receivers and hamstring injuries. Max cleared two receptions for 46 yards and a touchdown. Besides that, everybody else who caught the ball, which was few and far in between, only had one reception. Leland Smith, 1 for 5. Andrew Sawinski, 1 for 4. Denylan Morissette, 1 for 4. Jaden Dixonville, 1 for 0. Reggie Love, 1 for -3. Just can't have that. And I know this is a position group we were talking about, on our first pod of the season. We didn't know what to expect because we're like, it looks deep, but a lot of inexperience. Yeah. And now it's time to start seeing what some of these other guys can do.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's so frustrating because we were just so excited to see, because Purdue was able to get it done for the most part last year through the air with, like Deion Burks and those types of guys. But those guys are all gone. But then we talk about again, Edrin, who would have been, theoretically number one receiver last year before he got hurt. All we hear about CJ Smith is just his speed and how it's, NFL level speed, and really can take the top off of defense. And how they just got kind of bigger and longer, which is what you need. But we just haven't seen anything outside of, the Indiana State game, which again, was just an overmatched opponent. Purdue didn't really do anything special that game either. But yeah, that's probably been one of the more frustrating things. It's just not fun football to watch when Purdue has
the ball. It's not at all. It's not very creative. I did like the one deep shot that took to Leland Smith, which was just out of his grasp.
Yeah.
And that poor guy, he smacked his face on the turf about three or four times.
Yeah.
On a replay. Not a laughing matter. Hopefully he didn't get a concussion or anything. But yeah, just I want to see some more creative play calls, I'll say. Mm-hmm. Graham Harrell is bringing this air raid style offense with him. And we saw some creativity last year. And, he learned under Mike Leach, played at Texas Tech, was OC at West Virginia. Maybe this is the week. I don't know. They got to do something different. What they're doing is not working.
That's what was just so frustrating. It's that fine balance, which Walters even said, just because you have the one game against Notre Dame doesn't mean you throw away everything you've done, which is true.
Right.
but I feel like we didn't see a whole lot outside of like better tackling, which I feel is just like that's like the first thing.
Which I thought they were tackling better at Oregon State, but as the game went on, I think you kind of alluded to it earlier. They were getting tired.
Yep.
Going with arm tackles, going too high, things like that. And like Big Time Boiler said here on YouTube, defense was on the field all freaking game. And he was alluding to that offense has to step up. Defense theoretically played well enough to win. And he also said one game, hopefully soon, Purdue's going to put it all together and win a game they're not supposed to. Could be this week or in 6+ weeks. I like the optimism. I wish more fans thought like you, Big Time Boiler. Because I know it sucks right now. Don't get me wrong. 1-2, losing by 17, losing by a million to your rival when everybody thought they were down. I know it sucks, but I mean, I am seeing more doomsday posts right now about Purdue football than I've seen since the Daryl Hazel era.
Yeah. And I don't know if it has to do just with, again, the schedule of like, you know, September was the time for Purdue to kind of make hay, like, you know, hoping, you know, probably best case scenario was a 3-1 record. Worst case is what we're facing, which is 1-3. Just because we know that obviously in October, you only have one home game, you have a gauntlet. Right. And then like, again, some of these other teams that, you know, can maybe like, maybe pencil in as a W, like an Indiana or Michigan State or something like that. It's like, I don't know that. Like, it's like, you know, if you look at the schedule, it's like, you know, how many wins do you as of right now realistically see? I think you could definitely say one with Northwestern and maybe arguably two with Michigan State, but it's at Michigan State too.
Sure.
So,
And I guess being a glass half full type of guy, I could also flip. I mean, a lot of it's barring maybe how Purdue plays this weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, Nebraska's going to come in off a loss in a game they probably should have won. Mm-hmm. A loss in overtime against Illinois, but Nebraska can't beat ranked teams. They're going to bring a lot of fans, like I said, to Ross State. Ross State is officially sold out. It's been for 2 weeks, but we'll see how many people actually show. A lot depends probably on the weather. I know there's like a 35-40% chance of rain right now in the forecast. Homecoming,
which should hopefully help.
Homecoming should help. It is that noon game on Peacock. So if you're not a fan of Peacock and you're on the fence of going to the game, well, there you go. You're going to go to the game. Yeah. If you don't like watching on Peacock. But I guess trying to be a glass half full type of guy looking ahead on schedule, assuming Purdue plays well enough to win, or at least plays well enough, they barely lose to Nebraska, but play well, I guess, is the main takeaway here. You know, Wisconsin, I don't think they're going to win this week. We haven't beat Wisconsin in God knows, you know, forever, 23 years. What, how many years has it been? 20 years.
It's 20.
21. Yeah,
20 years. Yeah.
2003.
Yeah. It's going on 21. Yeah.
But they don't look unbeatable is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Illinois looks very good right now. They look much improved. Altmaier looks like a all Big Ten quarterback right now, an NFL quarterback. But, you know, we did hand, and I know it's hard to compare teams year to year because of the portal and NIL and all that type of stuff, but did handle Illinois with ease last year. This staff, I think, would get up for that game almost more than any other game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm trying to stay optimistic. I'm not one of those people, even though I'm pissed off, I'm not happy with the way the start. I'm very disappointed more than anything, but I'm not going to sit here and say, season's over.
Yeah,
you know, right now with nine games left, I'm just not going to, and I'm not going to call for a coach's head. Now, if trends keep up, then I think some coordinator changes need to happen after the season. Yeah. They're not going to happen in the season, but I think they definitely need to happen after the season. But I know the landscape of college athletics is totally different than when Purdue went through the Daryl Hazel era, but I still think you have to be more patient with a head coach, and you can't just fire him after 2 years.
Yeah, and I think going back to the coordinator point, like that's where my frustration lies. Mm-hmm. You know, is it Graham Harrell? Like, again, we're kind of seeing a lot of repeat of what we saw last year, especially early in the year, just like very bland, nothing. Like as we saw with and I hate bringing up like the Brom era because it was fun, but it was fun. Like we pretty may have lost, but like, at least it was going to be
right.
Like, potentially a shootout or something. I mean, obviously you look back at that Missouri game at Ross Ade, I know that you were at lost, but it was 50 to whatever.
It was a great college football game. It was exciting.
What makes college football fun, but when it's like what we saw Saturday, it's just not enjoyable.
Right.
So if you don't win, it's just extra miserable. But that's what's frustrating, is just to feel like nothing's changed on that end. And then I assume Kane is still calling the defense. I know
I assume
took that away from last year. And I get like, okay, like learn from your mistakes, like you get another shot, but now it's like, man, what the heck are we seeing? I don't know if it's again the play calling or if it's a you know, just not putting guys in the right spot. I mean, it was nice to see Jenkins have a nice game on Saturday.
Yeah, eight tackles, two sacks. He looked back to his normal self.
But that's kind of where I'll kind of judge Walters in this season, you know, again, after this year, because I don't think anything's going to happen. I think part of the problem too, you know, as much as I'd like for something to change, I think the problem with, you know, the play calling or especially on the offensive side is like, I don't think there's another guy who could do it. That's kind of the issue with having what we all loved at first was a super young staff. But now you look at like, oh, okay, if we get rid of Harrell, like who's calling the off, like who has that experience? Because you know, that's where maybe not having, you know, a seasoned veteran tight ends coach or something like another offensive analyst or something that's done this before. That's where it's like, okay, that's probably why we can't make a move mid season with like a Graham Harrell or something like that. Yeah. Obviously can, I know Walter could call a defense, no problem. But if trends continue like this, like that's where like, you know, I mean, Walters, he's the CEO of Purdue football. Like you have to make the tough decisions. That's kind of where I think my, I'll reserve judgment to the end of the year, but yeah, I'd like to see something change, but I do like kind of with big time boys. I think there is a, you know, I think this team is just too talented for it not to, not to put it together. Like, I mean, it's like, it's just with college sports, you see all the time, you know, I mean, hell, Northern Illinois the other week, like they put it all together the one week and never know what happens. Like I'd love for it to be this weekend, maybe spark some confidence and not wait until, you know, produce 1-8 to do it. And right. The lost. Right. Cause if you can get through September 2-2, like, okay. Like, I mean, you still have a chance to do something. But if you come out of this 1-3, it's, you are facing a steep mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. You're facing an uphill climb for sure. And you know, unfortunately the personnel is the personnel.
Yep.
You got what you got. You got the guys who are healthy and ready to play and
can't make trades you find, like NFL or
nope. You got to find ways to make it work.
Yeah.
It does sound like on defense, at least they're getting healthier. Sounds like Nyland Green, good chance he's going to make his Boilermaker debut. The cornerback transfer from Georgia, so that'll be big because Walters was even saying how much of a leader he is in the locker room too. So that'll be exciting. I'm not saying one guy's going to make total difference, but it can't hurt. Yeah. I think one of the main keys Saturday is getting out ahead.
Yeah.
I want to see what this team does with the lead against a decent opponent. I mean, digging yourselves into these holes, too hard to get out of with the type of offense Purdue's playing right now.
I mean, yeah, you get down 14-0. Like, there's, I mean, the defense knows you're going to have to probably throw so they can kind of just sit back and kind of tee off on you. Whereas if you can get up that 7-10 lead, you can, you know, mix in the run like Purdue's done pretty well. But yeah, it's, I have a little bit more hope knowing just that Raiola's not as mobile. I mean, he's dynamic, but he's not what we saw on Saturday or even to the level of Riley Leonard. I mean, he's Pat Mahomes Jr., but I'm not sure he really.
Yeah, his like rushing numbers. I mean, this accounts with sacks, 13 rushes for negative 38 yards.
Yeah.
Zero touchdowns. His longest rush is 15 yards.
Yeah.
Passing the ball is 83 for 115 for 967 yards, 72.2 completion percentage, averages 8.4 yards per completion. His longest completion is 59 yards, 8 touchdowns with 2 picks. He has been sacked 6 times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's good for a freshman.
Yeah.
He's only going to get better. But I'm just hoping. I'm hoping people show out for homecoming, like I said, because Ross State can be a somewhat of a hostile environment at times. Mm-hmm. Maybe not so much on a noon game, but it's the kid's first college road game. So hopefully he has some jitters. Dowdell, it leads the way on them with ground with rushing tech, 51 carries for 256 yards, 3 touchdowns. Emmett Johnson, 13 carries, but for 124 yards, averaging 9.5 yards a pop. 1 touchdown. Receiving wise, Isaiah Nayar, 16 receptions for 277 yards, 4 TDs. Jamal Banks, 15 receptions for 170 yards, 1 TD. And then Jalen Lloyd, only 3 receptions, but for 112 yards. No TDs. Ramir Johnson, running back, has a TD. and Janarian Bonner has a TD. Doesn't look like any of their, and Carter Nelson, doesn't look like any of their tight ends have a TD yet. So defensive side of the ball. Let's see here. They have 11 sacks on the season. In interceptions, they have picked off 4 balls. Fumble recoveries, they have 3. So why I'm bringing this up, Purdue has 0 interceptions and 0 fumble recoveries through 3 games. 0 turnovers forced. Kent State, Troy is the only other team in the country that has not forced a turnover.
Yeah, I think that goes to, I mean, Walters kind of said it in his interview, I think his presser yesterday, where he's like, I mean, the games we've got, I mean, I'm surprised we didn't get one against Indiana State, but again, they were just running the ball to run out the clock.
Right.
But right. These last 2 games, the team, you know, it's a lot harder to force a fumble than it is to pick off a ball. So that's going back to your point of just getting a lead and seeing what can happen.
Well, and we did recover a fumble on a muff punt return, but he was down, which, man, I think they made the right call, but you know, you're supposed to have clear crystal evidence, and it was, I don't know. I don't know, but whatever. Purdue's been on the wrong side of those calls more times than they've been on the right side, but it feels like. Patrick Kennedy on YouTube says, Mark Herman, new OC, play caller from the booth. He can sling it. Back in the day.
Sling it, yeah.
Yeah, we will see. But Graham's gotta do something different. Gotta do something. And I think the first time, at least I can remember, you could see some frustrations coming out of Hudson Card too.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. Because, you know, 7 for 17 is not gonna get done for 56 yards anytime, any day against whoever. But there was some times he threw some good balls and his receivers just didn't catch
dropped him.
His receivers and his tight ends, for that matter, aren't helping him out either. No, so just a bad combination right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more dangerous on his legs right now.
Yeah.
With 3 carries for 33 yards, but we don't always want him running around either because one good shot, and then it's Ryan Brown time.
Yeah.
So, and I know Ryan Brown can bring a rushing attack, but, I mean, we don't want to want him in there unless he's got to be, I don't think.
Yeah.
But so looking at the history of the series, Purdue-Nebraska is pretty interesting. It's deadlocked at 6 wins, 6 losses. Purdue is 4-3 at home in Ross State against Nebraska. They're 2-3 on the road. They did lose last year's contest 31-14, a pretty ugly matchup there. Last 10 matchups were 5-5, like I said.
Shout out to Scott Ari, Frost.
Ari did last year's. 2 years ago, last time they played in Ross State, Purdue won a thriller 43-37. Year before in 2021, they won on the road in Lincoln 28-23. Ross State, a December game in Ross State in 2020. Purdue lost 37-27. I think that was the last game of the season for Purdue that year. What it would end up being the last game of the season, I believe. 2019, the David Bell jet sweep trickery. That was Aiden O'Connell kind of heroic game there. Mm-hmm. Purdue won 31-27. Purdue stomped them in Lincoln. Well, the score was closer than the game was in 2018, 42-28. Lost a heartbreaker in 2017 to a quarterback named Tanner Lee for Nebraska, which still stings to this day, 25-24. Lost at Lincoln 2016, 27-14. Won at home, one of Daryl Hazel's 9 wins, 55-45 in 2015. Man, lost on the road, 35-14 in 2014. And 2013, for the first time they met as Big Ten foes, Nebraska came into Ross State and whooped Daryl Hazel's Boilers 44-7.
Yep. Yeah, that 55-45 game was nuts.
Yeah, I was not at that game for some reason. I don't know if I think I had a wedding to go to or something. Mm. So I missed one of Daryl's very few wins.
Yeah.
And the only other matchup in series history I did not mention was the 1958 matchup at Ross State Stadium. Purdue won 28-0. So it's always interesting game when the Boilers and Huskers get involved, whether that's on the football field or the hardwood. They've had some interesting ones on the hardwood too. Patrick Kennedy again on YouTube said David Blatt wants to be an OC coach. Give him time. I wouldn't mind him back in West Lafayette eventually, but I definitely got to get some more experience underneath his belt. I don't know what he's doing right now. Do you?
I don't think
he's in the NFL at all anymore. Unless he's,
he's probably trying to make a system or something, or a practice squad spot or something.
Well, let me search David Blau to see if Wikipedia's got to say here. Hey, his middle name's Marshall. I didn't know that. let's see here. He was hired by the Commanders in February as their assistant quarterbacks coach.
Okay.
There we go. Cool. There you go. So, okay, good for him. Yeah, maybe in a couple of years he can come back home to West Lafayette and be an OC or head coach someday. Who knows? Who knows? But do you have a spicy bowl prediction for Saturday that you want to throw out there?
Oh, man.
It's kind of tough, I know.
Yeah, it's a spicy prediction, pretty wins.
That would be a spicy prediction right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say just the offense clicks finally. Like, because that, at this point, it would be anything put up points is would be something to see.
I guess my spicy bowl predictions, Purdue wins the toss, Purdue receives, and Purdue goes down and scores first to make it.
You think they'll receive? I know we've deferred the two home games. I'm not sure if we won the toss or not at Oregon State. But I know we obviously got the ball after half. But
right. Patrick Candy on YouTube's a 66-3. I'm guessing that's his prediction. Yeah. I'm guessing Purdue's on the losing side of that one. Maybe. Yeah. Hopefully, you're saying Boilers 66-3. I still don't think that would make some people on Knucklehead Central happy, even if that happened.
No.
You know, there's some – shout out to Golden Black. They do great work. Knucklehead Central is a fun message board, but also in times like this can just be brutal. Yeah. I honestly think some people on there aren't happy unless Purdue loses. That goes for football and basketball.
Yeah.
I honestly think, like, there's some I want to say, what are you going to post if Purdue wins Saturday by some chance? Yeah. What do you get to post? I think a lot of them are the same people that want a Matt Painter fired. And they're the same people that if basketball happens to lose back-to-back games this year, they're going to be panic mode. It's just, I
some people just like being miserable. Yeah, they just like to complain, and that's...
And you know, and maybe it's a, maybe it shouldn't be annoying to me or a pet peeve of mine, but I really don't like the notion that... Oh, how many more days of basketball season? Oh, basketball season's around the corner. Because, I know Purdue is better than at basketball than they are football. They're coming off a historic season, national championship runner-up. Yes, you don't have to remind me. But I just feel like that's such a loser mentality. And, like, and it's okay to like Purdue basketball more than football. I'm not saying that. But I think, like, as a Purdue fan, you really need to try to like both teams, support both teams if you can, you know. And it just reminds me of Indiana mentality. Like Indiana, that's what Indiana fans have been saying for years. Basketball, you know, even in their 4-0 start right now. Well, I haven't heard too many say it was ready for basketball season just yet because they're 4-0. But
still, but also,
like, I don't know too many Indiana football fans.
Yeah, there's still
a lot of them are Notre Dame
fans. Lots of seats are available. No, I mean, I know. Like, I texted our group chat, you know, the basketball. First practice stuff.
Well, I'm not throwing you in there because I know you love Purdue football too, but I know Purdue basketball.
Yeah, I hate
more for you.
But. Yeah, I hate that notion because it's like, I mean, yes, I like Purdue basketball more than Purdue football, barely, but it's if I had to pick, I would pick Purdue basketball.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean I don't want to wish away the season because, like, because I mean, college football is so special and it's so short.
Yeah, you only get 6 or 7 home games and like I know your dad gets season basketball tickets. My family used to. We don't anymore. So, you know, I get to go to every football game. Basketball, I get to go to maybe a handful a year, which is still great, still fun. But so I guess I just take it more personal when it comes to the football side. And I just love football as a whole because I love college football and the NFL. So I just look forward to every weekend. You know, okay, like this past weekend, Purdue lost. I was in a bad mood. Then the Broncos somehow won, and I got in a better mood. But come the basketball season, Purdue's all I got. I'm not an NBA fan.
Yeah.
I might like certain players. Like, I'll root for Zach Edey real hard, but I'm not a – I mean, I guess I like the Pacers, but I don't really follow them that closely. Sonics. If when the Sox come back, then we're talking. But But so I guess that's where, like, you know, like, you know, I shouldn't dictate my mood off sports, but I do a lot of times. So like basketball season, if Purdue loses, I'm just mad. There's no other team that can make it up for me. Whereas football, right, I have another one that can, but unfortunately, more times a lot, not, they both lose. I'll just say week. Yeah. And then I'm just angry all the time. Like my wife said the other night, she loves football season because, and she likes, she even though Purdue basketball is her favorite, she loves football season because she understands the sport and everything. But she goes, it does make my husband angry. That's what she said, yeah, after the
new game. And it goes back, and it goes back to kind of what we've talked about in the past. Like this, what sucks, what's awesome about football and what sucks about football is that if you win, you have a whole week to just ride that high. And then, but yep, if you lose, it's like, oh my God, this, yep, is the longest,
yep,
week.
You got to sit in it. You got to sit in it.
Basketball, you know, you lose a game Tuesday, you probably have a game on Saturday or Friday, yep, at this, yep, point. I mean, Purdue's got so many Friday, Saturday
games. Oh, man, I hate the Fridays.
Yeah. No, and yeah, like I said, and also just football with being like a weekend thing, like it just feels much more like an event, like with tailgating and all that stuff, which I don't really tailgate a whole lot, but like I like, right, trying to get it there as early as possible. Where it's basketball, it's like, you know,
game get on, inside, it's freaking cold.
Yeah, get inside, or like the game starts at 7, I gotta get out of work, like I make sure I get on the road before traffic, yeah, gets too bad to get up there. Like there's no,
yeah,
like you hope to gotta get there, you know, 10 to 15 minutes early so I can,
right,
you know, get a beer and not miss anything or something. Right. Right. But yeah, football, it's like it's much more an event.
Right.
And yeah.
And I think basketball season is going to be fun. I don't want anybody saying here, but you know, there's always a chance the season doesn't go in basketball how we want it to go. Mm-hmm. But I think they're going to be pretty good. But
yeah.
I know. We've been hurt as students before where both seasons weren't good in the same season. So, yeah, you know, we've seen it happen before, but I think that's a long time ago, a whole different era of, yeah, new basketball. But I don't know. I don't know why. Like, I shouldn't be feeling very optimistic for Saturday, but for some reason I am. Maybe just because everybody else isn't. I don't know. I don't know.
I think also, I mean, still like this coaching staff is still young. Like,
yeah,
probably. I mean, I don't want to compare. I still don't think Walter's anything close to Hazel. I know there's like, obviously there's some statistics that are a little alarming right now.
Yeah. But, oh, sure. Sure.
But I still feel like this staff hasn't to get things figured out. It may take some, you know, tough conversation, things like that. But, as of right now, yeah, I still like have some, like, I mean, there's part of me is like, man, this could be Notre Dame part two on Saturday. But there's also part of me, it's like, hey, they could figure it out. Like, you know, mm-hmm, scheme some things, and that's, I don't know if that's makes me optimist or just foolish, but I guess we'll see. That's what sucks is like, especially like on Saturday, where it's like I had a lot of hope going into it, and then like that happens, like, gosh dang it, man. Like, I, you know, it's you know, it just makes you feel like, gosh, I had all this belief or whatever, and that just, it just sucks. But
yep, it's just not fun being a fan going in, like, just always negative, gonna lose. I mean, is the team playing good football right now? No, I'm not trying to say they're not playing good football, but football can change on a weekly basis. I mean, who had Vanderbilt going into Missouri and taking them into overtime?
Right.
They probably should have won the game. Number 6 minute. Yeah. Not me. So,
yeah.
I mean, it just takes the ball to bounce your way a couple times. A couple fluke things, like, you know, I hate going back if and doing the ifs and buts game. And but, you know, we're talking about missed opportunities at Purdue. I still think, you know, if Purdue punches that ball in after getting the – or, you know, doesn't fumble, because I think they're on their way to score if they don't fumble.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, that fluke play wouldn't have happened probably. But even say Hudson throws a better ball there, or the ball just doesn't bounce off Reggie Love's calf.
Right. Or just, yeah, like it's like
a completely different ball game.
Lynched, yeah, in the other direction. Like it's –
yeah, you know, I mean, that was a play that was – not going to happen 999 times out of 1,000.
Yeah.
I was not going to bounce that direction. I couldn't believe, like, first of all, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then the replay,
I was watching, Then I was like, saw the guy running. I was like, oh my God, he caught that. I was like,
yeah, I thought he just jumped up maybe and caught it at first. And then,
yeah. Yeah. It was a wild play. Yeah,
it was wild.
Yeah. The quality of the CW didn't help.
No, CW sucked. And I guess the frustrating thing is, I don't think Oregon State's that good a team, even though they're at the 3-1 start. Yeah.
And what sucks is like, we don't know, like, cause their schedule is just so weird, cause they're not, yeah, in conference. So it's like, they could go 8-4, but it's like, yeah, it's a soft 8-4. So it's like, yeah, might, yeah, make us feel a little bit better, but like, God, if they go like 6-6 with that schedule, it's like, oh my God. Like,
I guess one thing that was kind of daunting to me was Oregon State looked a lot faster. than we did.
Yeah. Yeah. I was concerning, especially like the edge is what concerns me.
Oh, the edge big time. We're not setting the edge at all. I mean, it killed us against Notre Dame. It killed us against Oregon State. You got to think they're working on that. But I don't know, man. I just know I'm sure they're putting in the work behind closed doors. I mean, nobody wants it more than those players and the coaches. They want it more than even all of us fans. So, so we will see what happens elsewhere around the Big Ten. Only 8 games this week, but at least a lot of them are, actually all of them are conference matchups. Starting with Friday night, Washington at Rutgers. Rutgers a 2.5-point favorite.
Sorry, what was the game? Sorry, that was responding to a text.
Oh, Washington at Rutgers Friday night, and Rutgers is 2.5-point favorite. So you Rutgers. Got you got Washington 3-1, Rutgers 3-0. I like Scarlet Knights at home.
It's is this the farthest distance between two Big Ten teams?
I think it is.
I wasn't sure, like maybe if USC might just could, or UCLA.
It might be a little more west, maybe from in California, but I don't know. Either way, it's freaking far.
It's a far, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me the Scarlet Knights on that one.
Maryland 3-1 at Indiana 4-0. I just threw up in my mouth saying that. Indiana's a 7-point favorite.
Probably their toughest test. Definitely their toughest test. So I don't know much about Maryland outside of just that they crushed UConn. They lost to Michigan State, and they, you know, they did what they're supposed to do against Maryland or against Virginia and Villanova. I think Indiana wins this one.
Yeah, I think they do too. I think nothing would shock me in this game.
Yeah. Either way, yeah.
I could definitely see them already looking ahead for the Nebraska game in 2 weeks, even looking ahead of the at Northwestern game. But I would say Indiana wins this game, but nothing would shock me. Minnesota at number 12, Michigan. Michigan's 9-point favorite. Talk about another program that's struggling, Minnesota. I think TJ Flex lost all momentum there, and I think Michigan handles them pretty easily.
Yeah, and Michigan came off a good win at home against USC. That was a really impressive win. Yeah, I think Michigan, I think they cover that pretty easily.
Speaking of USC, they are 15.5-point favorites at home against Wisconsin. Luke Fickell and the Badgers have not looked real sharp.
No, they haven't.
They're 2-1, but they haven't looked real sharp.
Yeah. I had a friend who's a Wisconsin fan, first game of the year, text me that, you know, Wisconsin's going to lose to Purdue this year. And I was like, and this was before thing, like, I was just like, are you, have you not paid attention the last 20 years? But I think USC takes care of business.
I do too. So then Purdue would be playing another team coming off a loss again. Number 3, Ohio State, 24-point favorites at Michigan State. Michigan State dropped one on the road to fall to 3-1 at Boston College. And Boston College, for whatever reason, rushed the field. I could not figure that out.
Yeah.
Weird.
Give me Ohio State large in this one.
Yep. Yeah, Ohio State's out for blood this year with their $20 million roster.
Yeah.
Big Ten game of the week. Who would have thunk it 4 weeks in that Illinois would be 4-0 and number 19? They're traveling to number 9, Penn State, who's 3-0. Penn State's an 18.5-point favorite, and James Franklin called for this game to be a whiteout.
Yep. Or at least whiteout energy is what I think said. Yeah. This is obviously Illinois' toughest test. A much tougher test. I'm going to pick Penn State, but I'm going to say they don't cover, but I think it's still like a 14-17-point win. As I about knock over my water. I think they're going to two scores. I think Illinois hangs tough for a while, and then just kind of, I think Penn State's just too good.
And then Illinois has a bye week after that. So technically, if Penn State beats Illinois, another opponent that they would be facing coming off the loss in a couple weeks. But I actually think Penn State covers. I just think, I don't know. Illinois is much improved. Offense looks good. I think Penn State exposes some things on Illinois' defense.
Yeah. I think there's some false hype over that Kansas win, because I still think Kansas is as good as
they were. They looked terrible the other day.
Yeah, so I think that's obviously kind of, I think that win's going to look less and less good as the year goes on.
Yep. And a Big Ten matchup with two foes that are very familiar with each other, even though they're new to the conference. Number 8, Oregon travels to UCLA. Oregon's a 24-point favorite. 11 o'clock Eastern time kickoff for this one.
After dark.
I think Oregon rolls.
I think Oregon rolls, yeah. I mean, UCLA put up a decent little fight against LSU, but I think, yeah, Oregon's just too talented.
And speaking of Oregon, EA Sports College Football 25 leaked Purdue, what seems to be Purdue's alternate uniforms that they're going to be wearing against Oregon. They got all black helmets, Purdue script on one side, numbers on the other. The black jersey almost looks like kind of their old jersey in a way.
Pretty bland.
Pretty basic. But cool. I thought color scheme with the pants a little bit.
Pants and the script Purdue on the hip, which just looked pretty cool. Looked really
I like the way it looks like on the game. But man, Purdue's got to be a little pissed off that the game released that. But that's what's going to happen, I guess, nowadays. So.
Yeah.
Around top 25, there's a couple matchups I want to get your opinion on. Number 20, Oklahoma State at number 23, Kansas State. Both teams coming off L's this past week. Kansas State's 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Kansas State losing. Got smoked.
Got smoked by BYU.
BYU. Yeah. And then Oklahoma State's coming off a loss to at home to Utah. Close loss to Utah. Give me Kansas State.
Yep.
And a close one.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Arkansas coming off a win over Hugh Freeze and Auburn. Hugh Freeze wants to blame everybody but himself for anything these days. They're at number 24, 3-1 Texas A&M, who's a 4-point favorite.
Give me A&M. Just being at home. Place will be ready to go.
Speaking of Auburn, they are 2.5-point underdogs when they host number 21 Oklahoma, who's 3-1, coming off a butt kicking by Tennessee.
I think they're making a quarterback change too, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. If I read that right, I might be making it up with some other team. I'm gonna take Auburn, the home team, just because I don't know what's going with Oklahoma.
I'll take Oklahoma because I just feel like if Hugh Freeze starting to blame other people. Not going to end well.
Yeah.
The game on Peacock following Purdue's game. I cannot believe this game's on Peacock. Number 15, Louisville. Jeff Brohm's 3-0 Louisville Cardinals at number 16, 3-1 Notre Dame. And they always make the Peacock game like well-known in advance. And I'm just shocked they picked a Louisville one this year. I don't know. I thought it'd be like Miami, Ohio or something.
Yeah.
Or Northern Illinois, looking back on it. But Notre Dame is a 6-point favorite. Louisville took down the Irish down in Louisville last year.
I think he gets his revenge over Brohm. I think I'm going to take Notre Dame, and I think they cover, but I think it's less than 10.
I'll take Brohm and Louisville. Yeah. Maybe that's just my hopes that Notre Dame loses another one. So Purdue fans, you can either be celebrating a Purdue victory and keep it on Peacock and then watch the old ball coach, or if Purdue loses, you can cuss at the world while watching the old ball coach.
Yeah.
He was still at Purdue. Game of the week. It's hard to believe it's a September game this year.
Yeah.
Number 2, Georgia at number 4, Alabama. Georgia's a 2-point favorite.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is... Give me Georgia just until they haven't lost a regular season game in how long?
Over 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me Georgia.
Yep. They got to play better than, they did play. Did they play last week? I was going to say they played, it was 2 weeks ago, Kentucky. I guess they escaped.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, it'd be a good test for Caleb DeBoer and his squad with this. But yeah, I think Georgia's just too much experience on that coaching staff in this type of, because I think it's going to be a whole new environment for DeBoer. I think he's going to see nothing like this. But I mean, granted, it's home, which is going to help, but still, it's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a September game.
Yeah.
And last one here, Arizona, 11-point dogs at number 10, Utah. Arizona 2-1, Utah 4-0.
Give me the Utes cover.
Yeah, I like this Utah team. It helps when Cam Rising's 35 and has tons of experience playing quarterback. And then we're circling back around to Purdue, Nebraska. I want a score prediction, Webby.
Well, I got to go with the Boilers, obviously. I'm going to say Boilers 28-24. Actually, 24-21 Purdue. Player of the game. I'd say Kytrin Jenkins. And comes up big with some sacks, big time plays. Maybe a forced fumble here or there. I don't know. Something different.
I am unfortunately going to take the Huskers. Hopefully, maybe I'll do some reverse psychology here. I think it's close though. I think 27-20. I think Purdue plays well. They play better than they have the last 2 weeks. It's a really close game all the way to the end. Player of the game. Somebody got to step up a wide receiver. I'm gonna go tip. Okay. I thought he had a tough game the other night. Dropped one, if not two balls. But somebody's got to break out for these wide receivers. Yeah. Somebody's got to help Hudson out. So, yep, gotta go tips. Gotta go tips. Before we flip gears and talk a little basketball, let me give you some information of one of our great sponsors, which is Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan or myself visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which is still September for another week or so. So their pizza of the month for September is Carl's Spicy Barbecue Chicken. It's their house blended spicy barbecue sauce topped with chicken, cup and char pepperoni, onions, and mozzarella and cheddar cheeses, starting at just $14. So when you're in town this week in God's country for homecoming, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5. Claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. Yes, I hope, like I've been mentioning all podcast long, I hope a bunch of Boilermakers are in town for homecoming. And I got to stop by Mad Mushroom. Some of my best college memories involve Mad Mushroom.
Yes, I'd agree.
Some of my best college nights. Usually cheese sticks, but sometimes it was pizza. I'm trying to think. I think the sandwich. I've had their sandwiches too back in the day, but usually cheese sticks were my go-to there. But so definitely take advantage. You will not be disappointed. Stop in any of their locations, especially the one there right on campus. Boilermaker basketball practice underway. Kind of also hard to believe, saying we're still in September. I didn't read any report today. Read some reports yesterday. You know, my main takeaway is Fletcher Lawyer is looking more muscular. Braden Smith's beard's not going anywhere. Trey Kaufman Wren looks like the man. The freshmen are all looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exciting times.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see. Obviously, there's going to be some red shirts, whether it's one or two. Be interesting to see. I think, obviously, I mean, kind of reading the tea leaves, you know, there's, I mean, you probably know the two they're going to be up for. I don't want to put names out there because we're not the coaches, but if you.
And I thought Robbie Hummel was going to be redshirted.
Did you really?
Yeah. That's why I kept reading that. He was going to be the one redshirted out of four. Ends up being none of them.
I do remember that. And
Robbie
yes.
was a freaking man. I thought he was the one out of the four that was going to be redshirted.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I remember reading everything back when like you would tell him. So it was like, he was the black sheep, I guess, so to speak, of like, everybody was excited about the other three. And then lo and behold, now my all time favorite.
Funny how it works, huh?
Yeah. But it sounds like they'll definitely be giving the coaches a tough decision, which, I mean, as Painter always leaves it up to the player in the end. I think, you know, potentially depending on how this 2025 class shakes out over the next couple of weeks, that could maybe determine one or the other.
Don't panic, Purdue fans. It's going to be okay.
This is like, as much as like I'm into recruiting, this is like the least I've like cared like about.
It's just, and you know, it's funny because you know, it's part of being a college sport. You want to care about recruiting. At the end of the day, it's like, we can't do anything about a 16, 17, 18-year-old's decision.
Right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And with the portal, you might get another crack at the kid in a couple of years.
Yeah. And just like the numbers being thrown around for like NIL for these kids is wild. But can't good for them, I guess. But
get it while you
can. I'm not worried about that front. You know, if they don't get anybody, which I think obviously we're gonna get somebody, but if there's a certain position we don't get, I'm not too worried. I have trust in Painter, and you know, this, you know, obviously now if you know unforeseen things happen and a bunch of guys transfer after next year, then it's like, okay, then there's time to worry. But again, like, I'm not worried too much about that right now in September. Before the season starts, but Big Ten schedule was released not too long ago. Anything stick out to you on the schedule? I know Purdue has a tough, as of right on paper right now, before games have tipped off, a tough stretch to the end of the season.
Yeah, the end of the season stretch, the five Friday night games, I think four of them are home. I miss Saturday night home games or Saturday late afternoon games. Also, January, when Purdue goes out west, it's going to be interesting.
Again, on paper, the beginning of the Big Ten schedule for Purdue shakes out pretty well. So I think, you know, just having a bunch of young guys and just a newer team in general, like, could be beneficial to Purdue to kind of get those early wins, to kind of get the confidence going. Now then you think about, like, early February, the dog days of the season, when it's a tough stretch, like, that could obviously spell disaster. But I'm not too worried with guys like, I mean, with, you know, the presumed three stars of Braden, Fletcher, and TKR. Like, I'm not too worried about, you know, the leadership on that. And I think those guys will pull guys through. I'm excited. I love what I'm reading. It's exciting to kind of see how this team's going to be different, you know, post Zach Edey era, which is depressing, but also, like, just it just is what
it is. College sports, life goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. Excited to see kind of how different this offense looks. And just kind of just the athletes and get them to show their stuff. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, a basketball game will be played next month. And as of next week's show, when we record, it'll be that month, because it's the end of October is when the exhibition game against Creighton happens. Yeah. I think there's another game, like in one of the other exhibition games happens at the end of October. But yeah, it's crazy. It's almost here.
Yeah, it's wild. It's saw Notre Dame's playing at Purdue Fort Wayne for one of their exhibitions.
Are they? Let's go.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Should go.
Yeah, should root against Notre Dame.
I saw, actually, going back to the Notre Dame game, I'm pretty sure I walked in behind Shrews' son in our section. I assume Shrews might have been there.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but I was behind him. I was like, he looks. I was like, oh, I think that's Shrewsbury's son that plays at Notre Dame. But he was going up the section. So
another thing that, and I think you and Aaron hit on this last week, if I'm not mistaken. The Indiana game being at Mackey first, then Assembly Hall this year. That's been a change. Had happened in a little while.
2019 was the last time that happened.
Is what it is. 2019. We got the better of them. That year,
that was the year that coming into the game they were ranked. They had Romeo, but in that game was kind of the start of their, like, where they just because they were ranked, we weren't. We were kind of coming off that, we'd already won at Wisconsin, but it was still like we went 6-5 before Big Ten.
Never forget that. Hated that freaking team at that point.
And we won. They like careened off a cliff. And then, later that season was the Matt Harms tip-in, when it was like 49-47. Carson was like 2 of 18.
Oh, he was awful that night.
I remember the game at Mackey that year. It was bad weather, because that's the only time that my now wife has gone to a game with me at Mackey, her being an Indiana grad. But yeah, it was we left like kind of early. And I think she was a little mad that I wanted to, like, we were. The roads were not good. I was like, I'm not missing this game. It's and now with all these other, I mean, Musselman comes to Mackey. Purdue's double plays for Indiana, Michigan, and Rutgers. So we'll see Rutgers, fabulous freshman. They're, you know, two top five guys.
And Dusty May twice.
Yep. So yeah, it's who knows, like. And you kind of say, like, before the season, like, who knows how things are going to shake out. But I feel like this year, especially just with, you know, four new teams, we just don't know. It's looking forward to it.
Judy Runk on Facebook with a W. I hope that means you think a win's coming for the Boilers Saturday. I'm going to take it as that, at least. So, Webby, before we close things out, why don't you let everybody know where they can get some great Purdue merch?
Yeah, so we're happy to have the shop back on board again for another season. We're in the shirt they came out with a couple years ago for the men of Mackey.
Purdue
Pete. Yeah, they've been making shirts since 2011. Started out in their garage. Now they've got three retail locations across the Indianapolis area. They got one in Carmel, one on the broader, one downtown. So if you're ever in the Indy area, make sure you stop by one of their stores. Awesome people. They've got all things Indiana, different colleges, just all things the state of Indiana. Whether it's shirts, sweatshirts, drinkwear, stickers, hats, whatever it may be, they've got something for you. But if you're shopping online, as Christmas is just around the corner, if you go to theshopindy.com, use promo code breakdown and get 25% off your entire order.
Take advantage. You will not be disappointed. Shirts are so comfortable and they just keep pumping out new designs. It hurts my bank account.
Yeah.
But we are thankful for their support. I guess final notes, after we get done with this recording here momentarily, Evan's going to be doing another Purdue football quiz. It's our YouTube exclusive. So go over to our YouTube page and check out the latest edition of the quiz. And you can check out our previous edition of the quiz too. We're going to be doing quite a few of these, hopefully through the rest of football season and basketball season as well. Kind of a YouTube exclusive. Maybe they'll pop up on Facebook eventually, but make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube channel. That's what I'm trying to say, if you haven't already, because that's also one of our live avenues every week with these recordings. So any final thoughts, Webby, as we wrap this up?
I just want to see some improvement on Saturday. That's kind of what I'm looking for at this point. It's just, obviously I'd love to win, but if we can just see, subtle things, whether it's, just changes, but just, I just don't want last or two Saturdays ago to have a repeat of that, because moralizing wasn't fun. Some of us left at halftime, Tanner.
You had to travel. I did. I had to travel and I just literally couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
It was I don't know tough. How you did it. I give you credit. You can.
It was. Yeah. It was
more me.
Yeah, it was tough. Hopefully we don't have that, and hopefully it's a good game.
I don't think Nebraska's as talented as Notre Dame. They got talent, and they're a solid team. They're much better than they were under Scott Frost, but they still got to learn some things. As they showed during the Illinois game. But they're probably more talented than Purdue. I'm not trying to say they're not, but I don't think Notre Dame's still freaking good, even though Northern Illinois got them. And I'm glad Chris Williams put this up
on Facebook. Yeah.
Play Gene Katie hard. Thoughts and prayers up to Coach Gene Katie. It was announced yesterday that he suffered a stroke last week, but he's expected to make a full recovery. So that's great to hear. So thoughts and prayers with Coach and his whole family. I hope to see him back in Mackey come this winter.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Webby, it's been fun as we can make it, talking about two straight L's. But let's show out. Everybody show out Saturday. Come to Ross State if you have a ticket. Come have a good time at homecoming. Hopefully the weather holds up and then the rain holds off. And let's boiler up, hammer down, and beat those Cornhuskers.
Boiler up.